Today, as I said at the beginning, is Trinity Sunday, our first Sunday of what the church calls ordinary time, that long season after Pentecost when our liturgical year has us walking in light of all that has come before. We have been through the rigors of Lent, walked with Jesus on the way of the cross, experienced with the disciples their confusion, loss, fear, and then incredulous joy on Easter morning. We have witnessed Jesus' post-resurrection appearances in the garden, on the road to Emmaus, in the upper room, and my favorite, fixing breakfast on the shore of Lake Galilee. We were present when Jesus disappeared from their midst on Ascension, and with them when they dramatically received the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, as we celebrated last week. So Trinity Sunday, the one day of the year when we celebrate not an event in Jesus' life or that of the church, but a doctrine, a theological concept, a way of understanding the mysterious, the ineffable nature of God. A Sunday when rectors are notorious for finding someone else to preach. Jonathan is smiling back at me from the back pew. I wonder if he's been preaching on Trinity in the past as a seminarian. I wonder about David's timing of his sabbatical, of course. But a Sunday when many of the resources I looked at suggested that the preacher either give what sounded like an erudite presentation on the Trinity, more a lecture than a sermon, or else ignore the Trinity altogether and preach on something else suggested by the readings. Yet how could I ignore something so fundamental to us? The very words we say every Sunday in the Nicene Creed, or as we will say in just a few moments today, in slightly different words. Our belief in the one God who is mysteriously three, yet one. A relational, dynamic God. A God who extends that intimate, inclusive, loving, relational oneness to us. As Jesus says, and I've been reiterating, I'm sure, for the past several weeks, that we may all be one as he and the Father are one. One through the power of the Holy Spirit moving in us and between us. There's a funny Trinity story that goes around. Many of you may have heard it or seen it online. It goes like this. Wisdom from a child's mouth. A priest went into a second grade classroom of the parish school and asked, "Who can tell me what the Blessed Trinity means?" A little girl with a lisp replies, "The Blessed Trinity meaneth that there are three persons in one God." The priest, taken aback by the lisp, said, "Would you say that again? I don't understand what you said." The little girl answered, "Not the both understandeth a mithery." Precisely. You're not supposed to understand it. It's a mystery. A mystery that folks for hundreds of years have struggled to find words to express. Those theologians at the Council of Nicaea who wrote the Creed in the 4th century, like us, were trying to find a way to express their monotheistic belief in one God in light of their lived experience, their experience of God's acting powerfully in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus after an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity expressed in their own 4th century metaphysical language was the answer. So while we may not be able to identify with their language, we too have that shared experience of God, Father, Mother, Incarnate Word, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, the God who was before all was, who walked among us in human form like us, and the empowering teaching spirit who breathes into and through us. At our baptism, each of us was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, initiated into this mysterious, accessible, relational, communal, interdependent, dynamic reality. When I lived in England for a number of years, many times at the end of a time of prayer or informal service, there would be an invitation to close with the grace. It didn't mean anything to me coming from the States to just say the grace. But what was meant was the blessing that Paul leaves us with and leaves with the Corinthians in his epistle, which we heard read, which is one of the options for a closing sentence in our prayer book services of morning and evening prayer. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. In it, as Paul did, we name God as the source of love who creates us in community, the grace who enables us to return again and again to right relationship, and the Spirit who breathes and sustains our communion with one another. We are continually invited into a different perspective on our lives and our world, different from our Western individualistic way of seeing ourselves. As a friend of mine put it, we encounter glimpses of another version of life in this world, a way of seeing ourselves as profoundly social in nature, created by the Holy Three for relationship, not isolation, created to become more deeply human to the degree that we enter into relationship with others, with friends, animals, children, spouses, trees and mountains, elders, partners, with people who are not like you, like me, created for relationship with our social God, who always escapes the words we use to name that mystery, and yet dwells with you, with me, with the person next to you, dwelling with all of us, if you can imagine it, as a divine community of friends who love each other in their differences, in their very diversity. This is what Jesus in the Gospels is sending the disciples out to do, to bring all people into this dynamic relationship offered again and again to us by the self-giving God who is with and in us in all the ordinary and extraordinary events of our lives. It is what we do when we extend a welcome to newcomers or invite a friend to come to St. Dunstan's with us. It's the invitation in our feeding of our neighbors every Tuesday. It's not just about the liturgy or the wonderful music or the great food at coffee hour or even the nice people. It's about coming into relationship, into communion with the God who is present at our beginnings, our endings, and all the ordinary events of our lives in between. And it's not always easy, the time being. W.H. Auden once wrote, "Is often the hardest time of all, this time of ordinary time. The dailiness of our lives with all its ups and downs, joys and sorrows, boredom and passion. Yet in all of it, in every moment, we dwell, recognized or not, within that ineffable command, communal, loving embrace of our God who is three, who is one, who is love. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore."